Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You know, a lot of people say, well, torture doesn't work, torture doesn't work. And I'm not here, you know, saying that we need to torture. I'm just saying, for the record, it is a matter of historical record that when we waterboarded Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he started talking.
Well, that pretty much sums up that debate, doesn't it? Joe Scarborough on MSNBC talking about the controversial interrogation technique known as waterboarding. Lots of questions abound. Just what is waterboarding? Does it work? Is it torture? And waterboarding figures heavily in today's news. The nomination of Michael Mukasey to be Attorney General may well rest on his assessment of whether the technique does count as torture and just who, if anyone, is liable if it does. We'll get to the legal and political ramifications of waterboarding in a bit, but for now, let's take a look at the technique itself. Joining us is Malcolm Nance. He is a counterterrorism consultant who has worked for the U.S. government special operations, homeland security, and intelligence agencies. He joins us from the United Arab Emirates today, and he's the author of a piece that perhaps you saw in the Daily News on Wednesday titled, I Know Waterboarding is Torture Because I've Done It Myself. Mr. Nance, thanks so much for coming on WNYC with us today. Hello from New York.
Hi, it's my pleasure to be here.
So first on that clip of Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, I don't know if you were able to hear it, but that conservative talk show host claimed that waterboarding is precisely what got Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, al-Qaeda's number two, to talk after 9/11. Do you know that to be true or false?
I personally don't know that to be true or false, and as a matter of fact, it hasn't really been confirmed by anyone. It's, when the Washington Post sourced that article some time ago, one of the comments that was made was, anonymously, that was that the information was actually, some of it, unreliable, and that's generally what happens when you torture a person for information.
What was the situation that led you to learn how to waterboard and teach others?
I was a... During my last years of military service, I was a instructor at the U.S. Navy Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape School. And this is a school in which we train U.S. service members to resist and be introduced to some of the various techniques that are used around the world in case that they are captured and become prisoners of war or terrorist hostages or hostile government detainees.
So walk us through this a little bit. Your op-ed says that you have personally led, witnessed, or supervised waterboarding of hundreds of people. How do you do that?
Well, even though it's a very, very small fraction of personnel who might be selected for that activity, over the time that I was there, we processed several thousand students through our school. And one of those components is demonstrating a technique, a torture technique, which shows that that a hostile government or a totalitarian nation has the ability to make you to take you beyond your utmost ability to resist. And there are many other torture techniques which are far more brutal, but the waterboarding itself is a historically well-known torture technique, and it was used in Vietnam, it was used in Cambodia, and other points around the world.
In the New York Times article on the Michael Mukasey nomination today, which we'll talk about with another guest later, it refers, as a lot of the media have, to waterboarding as simulated torture. But I was struck by the line in your op-ed that says, in the media, waterboarding is called simulated drowning, but that's a misnomer. It does not simulate drowning, as the lungs are actually filling with water. There is no way to simulate that. The victim is drowning. Could you describe the technique for us precisely and what it does?
Well, I can certainly tell you my personal experience. As a staff member, I was subjected to it, and I went through the entire process. As it's carried out in most parts of the world, you're strapped down, and then your head is at an incline angle. It's actually inclined down. And then your water is introduced in a very controlled flow. It fills your nostrils. Then as you try to gag it out of your nostrils, it fills your mouth. And as you try to gag it and spit it out of your mouth and nostrils, the continuous flow of water overpowers your gag reflex and then goes down your esophagus and will enter either your lungs or even travel into your stomach. But for the most part, as you're gasping for air, it enters into the lungs, and it becomes very painful. Generally, at that point, the subject is compliant, and that's when questions are introduced.
And you say that you agree with Senator McCain. Senator Lindsey Graham has also said this publicly, that waterboarding should never be used as an interrogation tool. Were you trained, and were you training others to use it on others in actual U.S. government interrogations of detainees?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, that's the thrust of my op-ed. We introduce the technique to students who may be at a high risk of capture. These schools have existed for decades. As a matter of fact, Senator John McCain went to our school in Coronado, California, before he was shot down in Vietnam. But it just barely prepares the students who are going through. Now, we do not teach torture. Absolutely not. Now, how this technique came to be selected, or if it is in fact selected as an enhanced interrogation technique and had been used in Guantanamo or in Abu Ghraib in Afghanistan, I'm not privy to how it transferred itself over to that. There are some media reports that it was taken directly from our manuals. However, we demonstrate what a totalitarian nation with complete disregard for laws and treaties would do to a prisoner. And that's the thrust of my op-ed, also my op-ed in the Small Wars Journal, which started this whole ball, in which the comments that were made by Joe Scarborough and on the Scarborough Show, where they felt that it was a debate, that this was debatable whether it was a torture technique or not. And as someone who has gone through it and had to perform the procedure, I know what it is. And there is no debate as to whether it's a torture technique. And that's what I wanted to make very clear.
Let me play you a little more then of what Joe Scarborough said on his MSNBC show. Here it is.
That's the debate. Is waterboarding torture? I don't want the United States to engage in the type of torture that John McCain had to endure. But is waterboarding torture? If it's in a controlled environment, if you have it done instead of National Guardsmen from West Virginia, like we had at Abu Ghraib, we have people that have been interrogating for 20 years or 30 years. I don't know. All I am saying is, and I always get in trouble when I say this on TV, panelists will go, how dare you say that? If you ask Americans whether they think it's okay for us to waterboard in a controlled environment, to get people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who planned September 11th, to get him talking, you know what? The New York Times editorial board is not going to like the results of those polls, because 90% of Americans are going to say yes.
And as you mentioned, Joe, it's not a new phenomenon. It's being pinned on President Bush, but
right.
This has been part of interrogation for years and years and years.
Well,
again, not defending it, but that's just a fact.
No, but I mean, they did it at your fraternity on Hell Night.
They did.
Right?
Unfortunately, they did, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Mr. Nance, he compares it to fraternity hazing. You think they do that in the college dorms?
That statement is completely indefensible. There is no equivalency to this. If they're doing it in a college dorm, then they're committing crimes. In fact, this is a very, very painful and disorienting technique. The entire intent is to overcome you and to bring about a sense of absolute, abject compliance from the subject. And then, of course, you can stop it, and you can do it again.
But since they never actually drown anybody, but just do it to induce the fear of drowning. I mean, you said it is drowning, but
it
if people actually drowned, they would die. So they induce the feeling of drowning, they would say, induce the fear of that, and that coerces people to talk, truthfully or not, is another matter.
Well, in fact, it's not introducing the fear of drowning, because you are, in fact, drowning. Water is entering your lungs, and your breathing process is starting to degrade throughout that period of time. So you, in fact, are just going through an extremely controlled drowning. And it doesn't matter whether you're a professional or an amateur. I've seen waterboarding from Cambodia to the articles that were written of the war crimes on Japanese interrogators to Argentinians It's almost universal, the technique. It doesn't matter whether you have a very nice board or whether you have a having it done on a concrete floor. You are going through a procedure which is debasing and painful. And if you want someone to comply, you're going to get it. They absolutely will comply. However, this is not something which is which, whether it's a controlled environment or not, determines whether it's torture or not.
Malcolm Nance is a counterterrorism consultant for the government's Special Operations, Homeland Security, and Intelligence Agencies. His op-ed in the Daily News on Wednesday was headlined, "I Know Waterboarding is Torture Because I Did It Myself." Before you go, Mr. Nance, do you think there are going to be any consequences to your coming forward, since you're still a counterterrorism consultant for these important government agencies, coming forward and taking this position, which may be seen as counter to the administration's position?
Well, I certainly don't speak out about matters of honor or matters of national integrity and worry about whether the consequences are going to be swift, severe, or resolute. And this is the exact same mindset I hope that the framers of the Constitution had when they all signed that document, as they said, which will hang them all, our Constitution. So I'm not too concerned.
Thanks a lot for coming on with us. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Malcolm Nance joined us from the United Arab Emirates today. And we'll continue in a minute with the political and legal ramifications of Michael Mukasey, the Attorney General nominee, refusing to declare waterboarding torture in his confirmation hearing. Stay with us.
Just to finish that thought, so is waterboarding constitutional?
I don't know what's involved in the technique. If waterboarding is torture, torture is not constitutional.
President Bush's Attorney General nominee, Michael Mukasey, in an exchange with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island last week, Mukasey's nomination now appears to rest on his assessment of waterboarding. That exchange, and we'll play the fuller version in just a sec, has changed the atmosphere on Capitol Hill on what was supposed to be a shoo-in of a nomination. He has refused and continues to refuse to come down on either side of the debate over whether waterboarding is torture. There are political ramifications to this, obviously, and some people say there are legal ramifications to this, that he may be protecting someone from libel, even maybe the president. So let's bring in Karen Greenberg to help walk us through some of the legal as well as political implications of this debate. Karen is the executive director of the Center on Law and Security at the NYU Law School. She's also the co-editor of The Torture Papers, The Road to Abu Ghraib, published by the Cambridge University Press. Karen Greenberg, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
And let's listen to this fuller exchange that has really changed the nature of this nomination and the debate over it with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse last week. This is about a minute's worth.
Just to finish that thought, so is waterboarding constitutional?
I don't know what's involved in the technique. If waterboarding is torture, torture is not constitutional.
If waterboarding is constitutional, is a massive hedge.
No, I said if it's torture. I'm sorry, I said if it's torture.
If it's torture, that's a massive hedge. I mean, it either is or it isn't. Do you have an opinion on whether waterboarding, which is the practice of putting somebody in a reclining position, strapping them down, putting cloth over their faces, and pouring water over the cloth to simulate the feeling of drowning, is that constitutional?
If it amounts to torture, it is not constitutional.
I'm very disappointed in that answer. I think it is purely semantic.
Sorry.
And he actually said sorry at the end of that. Did you hear that? When Whitehouse was saying that's a non-answer, that's purely semantic, Mukasey said sorry, which is not a word you generally hear from an attorney general nominee. But talk about his legal bind there. Why exactly can't he give an opinion on waterboarding one way or the other as he sees it, do you think?
Well, I think he could give an opinion. I think when he says sorry, he feels the pressure that's being put on him not to. If he says that waterboarding is torture, I think he feels that he opens up the notion to the public, to a wider public, that as we know, waterboarding was used, and that those who authorized it or engaged in the technique can be prosecuted. And he doesn't want to cross that line because he doesn't want to bear that responsibility. Now, he could say it, become attorney general, say that waterboarding is torture, and not prosecute anyone. But he doesn't want to cross that line in terms of the legality of the issue because of the firestorm that would ensue.
Because of the political firestorm or legal firestorm?
Both.
What would the legal firestorm be?
The legal firestorm would be that torture is illegal. And if waterboarding is torture, then those who upheld, created, and enacted the policy, implemented the policy, are guilty of violating the law. And we have an administration who has said from the beginning, in order to make sure that our enemies feel our wrath and our power, that we will do what it takes to make this country safe and to bring revenge for 9/11 or retaliation for 9/11, that we will take the gloves off, we will do what it takes, etc. And embedded in that language is the opening to things like waterboarding and other forms of torture.
And if the president, well, let me play a clip of the president, because here he is making a brief appearance at the White House yesterday specifically to defend Mukasey, and here's a short clip of what the president said.
He does not know whether certain methods of questioning are in fact used because the program is classified, and therefore he is in no position to provide an informed opinion.
President Bush actually speaking at the Heritage Foundation yesterday, and Karen Greenberg from the NYU Law School Center on Law and Security. What about that position? If he is not yet the Attorney General, and so he has not yet been briefed on this classified information of what specific interrogation techniques are used, aren't used, what's considered legal by the administration, what's not. Is it unfair of the media, of the Congress, as the president says, to demand demand a specific answer from him?
Absolutely not. They didn't ask him if he knew what the techniques of the program were. They asked him a simple question: is waterboarding, in your opinion, torture? That's all they asked him. It's not up to him to know the details at this point, and that wasn't the line they were pursuing. And what President Bush and Dick Cheney yesterday did in their press conferences was to basically say that you can't hold somebody accountable if they don't know. And this has been a persistent theme throughout the Bush administration: this refusal to be accountable on the grounds that no one has the facts. And on very many other grounds, but this is just their technique. How can you accuse us of something if we've kept it secret? What's happened in this particular case is that the frustration of Democrats and some Republicans of this inability to get some kind of accountability from the Bush administration based on fact has no outlet other than the nomination process. And so if what's happening with Judge Mukasey is that all of these frustrations of an unwillingness to get answers and clarity and transparency are focusing on Mukasey. And I think the word sorry is actually very instructive, and I think he is sorry to be in this position.
We can take some phone calls on this. Listeners, we have about 10 minutes. What do you think? Should Mukasey be confirmed? You know how Chuck Schumer is the one who brought him forward. This was heading for a possible 99-0 vote. I think Senator Johnson is still not in voting shape from South Dakota, but this was heading for perhaps a unanimous confirmation in the Senate. Now it may die in committee next Tuesday. The Democrats on the Judiciary Committee may actually kill the nomination by preventing it from coming to the floor over really this one specific issue. Should that be enough to kill the nomination, in your opinion, of Michael Mukasey? And what's at stake here as far as you all are concerned? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Dale in Seaford Harbor, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dale.
Oh, hi, Brian. This is a great segment. I have two quick comments. One, I think there are degrees of waterboarding. So you can get wet or come near drowning. And comment two, it doesn't work. A better way to interrogate a suspect is to become friends.
Dale, thank you. And without getting into the debate that we've had 1,000 times on whether it works, I don't know that you become friends either with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but, you know, that's another show. Do you agree that there are degrees of waterboarding? And so, you know, again, in Mukasey's defense, he may not know to what degree this technique is actually used, how close to drowning somebody in the drowning experience and actually filling their lungs with water, as our previous guest was describing, they actually go, which also makes it difficult for him to take a position on whether the administration is using a torture technique.
Waterboarding is designed to simulate drowning. So the degrees of it, whether it's done well or not done well, that's the goal of it. And that is why it is torture, because torture is defined in part as that which simulates near death or, you know, the threat of death. And so I wouldn't buy the degree thing. I want to say on this torture doesn't work thing, you know, to many of us, whether or not torture works is very much beside the point. Even if it does work, it is illegal. And it compromises so much in terms of our ability to affect decency and justice around the world, and our ability to not rely on a last-minute technique, but to get our information ahead of time and years earlier, that there are many reasons to oppose torture beyond whether or not it works.
And you're familiar with the Bush torture memos, you know, the administration's legal opinions from Gonzalez and others from a few years ago. How is waterboarding, how is torture defined in there? How did this become such a semantic argument?
Because in August of 2002, after a series of memos trying to separate al-Qaeda members and alleged terrorists from the basic Geneva Conventions, the Bush administration, under the signature of Jay Bybee and with the approval of John Yoo, redefined torture as that which was near death or organ failure. And so this is how we got into this quandary to begin with, sort of a redefinition of torture along, you know, a more severe lines than before. And then in the following spring, the Bush administration, the Pentagon, authorized a study looking at various techniques that might be added. I should also say that in December of 2002, Donald Rumsfeld approved a number of techniques, the use of dogs, et cetera, not waterboarding, that could be used against prisoners. So it has been an incremental attempt to get more and more coercive interrogation techniques into play.
Stacy in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I am really disturbed at this entire ordeal. To answer the question, I think that this confirmation should be approved. The Attorney General or the prospective Attorney General should not be put in such an unreasonable position to give his opinion about a practice that isn't new to the Republican Party. I resent the implication that the Democrats have been this, you know, for justice, we are really, really going to stick by the law. I would like to know, when you are in that position, when you have a bunch of murderers who's out to kill us, what are you supposed to do? Have tea and please beg them to be forthcoming with the truth? This is exactly why, as an African American, I left the Democratic Party. They're hypocrites.
Karen
Greenberg. I'll wait for the comment off the air.
Thank you for your call, Karen Greenberg.
No, it's always hard. What I want is I want to prevent terrorist attacks. And the way to prevent a terrorist attack is to have the best information intelligence service in the world and to have a military that's ready to respond to threat in a viable way. And we, by relying on torture, what you do is think differently about where you can solve the problem. You cannot solve the problem at the last minute because you have someone in the room who you need information for immediately. And I want to say something else about this. The Khalid, because it came up earlier, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed information that is throughout the 9/11 report information that has been said to what we got from waterboarding. And again, we don't know, but this is what's said and what's alleged. Much of that testimony had appeared in print before from journalists who had interviewed him. And so the information was available. And that's another problem, is that are we torturing these people because we absolutely, that's how we need to get the information? Or are we torturing these people because we are so frustrated by our lack of intelligence, and because we just don't quite know how to go about getting it, or aren't willing to do what it takes in terms of new programs and hard work?
By the way, here's Senator Edward Kennedy, who apparently was going to vote for Mukasey, but has now flipped.
Judge Mukasey told me that my questions about the legality of waterboarding were the kind of hypothetical questions that judges commonly refuse to address. But he has been nominated to be Attorney General, and an Attorney General, unlike a judge, is often called upon to determine whether an action would be legal before such action is taken.
Now, decode that for us a little bit, about needing to determine whether an action is legal before such action is taken. What does that mean? How is that relevant here?
It means that, well, because the Attorney General repeatedly is asked for advice, and particularly in this matter of course of interrogation and torture, and Alberto Gonzalez has been asked for advice on, you know, are these legal, how far we should go, can we reconstruct the law, can we bend the law, and so he's been part of the conversation.
But the president says Mukasey hasn't been briefed on the specifics of the policy yet.
But he will be. And so it's very important to know what he thinks, because we don't want another attorney general who will allow torture to go forward.
Steve in Woodmere, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. You know, it seems to me that the Democrats, what they're looking for is they want to appoint somebody who's going to answer all the questions just the way they want it done. I thought Mr. Mukasey's answer was very clear. He said, torture is illegal. I don't know what waterboarding entails, so I'm not going to put myself out and tell you that it is illegal. Now, Mrs. Greenberg, she thinks that she's some sort of an expert in how to deal with terrorists and how to get information. I don't know what kind of experience does she have. It doesn't work just the way, you know, just because she says this is what should be done, that's how it's going to work. There are a lot more details to getting information from terrorists than what she's suggesting.
Okay, I agree with that. Let me just say that how you've misunderstood. First of all, this is not just a Republican-Democratic issue. There are many Republicans that have doubts about Mukasey and that are firmly opposed to torture. And so I don't like to categorize the debate and the issue.
And again, on the issue of whether it works, we're not going to settle that here today, but you have people like John McCain who say it doesn't work because people under that circumstance will tell you anything they think you want to hear, and so their information is very unreliable. Or Senator Lindsey Graham, who was a military judge advocate, and who says this is going to put his men in much more vulnerable positions because they will tend to use it more in Americans.
What's going on here in the debate, we're losing sight of what the actual debate is about. The actual debate going on right now in Washington is about immunity, and that's the deeply troubling part of it, is there has been a cry for immunity, partially through the memos from 2002, 3, 4, and 5, that say, look, we would feel we need to implement torture techniques. However, we want to make sure everybody's immune. However, we don't want to bring this up for a public vetting. Mm. And so this is really not a discussion about does torture work or Judge Mukasey. This is a discussion about how much immunity this government wants.
So we're just about out of time, but let me read you one sentence from the New York Times editorial on this yesterday, where it says the only information Mr. Mukasey can possibly be lacking is whether Mr. Bush broke the law by authorizing the CIA to use waterboarding, a judgment that the White House clearly does not want him to render in public because it could expose a host of officials to criminal accountability. So, legal bottom line, do you think that's what's going on here?
I absolutely think that is the fear of the Bush administration.
And that's where we leave it with Karen Greenberg from the Center on Law and Security at the NYU Law School, also the co-editor of the Torture Papers, The Road to Abu Ghraib, published by the Cambridge University Press. Thanks very much for coming on with us today.
Thank you.
And again, that expected to be that vote expected in the Senate Judiciary Committee probably Tuesday on the fate of the Mukasey nomination. Expect a lot more politics on this over the weekend. Well, another story this morning is that it's official. Don Imus is coming back to the radio. We'll talk about it with a few people over the next hour, including Ron Kuby, the talk show host on WABC, who in effect is going to be replaced by Don Imus. And in a minute to Newsday sports columnist Sean Powell, who will discuss the Rutgers women's basketball team that was insulted by Imus and other issues of race and sports. Stay with us for Sean Powell here on WNYC.